We are introduced to him in Acts chapter 16. He's grown up and learned to follow the Lord in the churches at Lystra and Derbe. Paul comes there to help plant a church, and the saints there say, hey, there's this young man over here. I think he's pretty good. Paul notices him and brings him onto his ministry team, mentors him for years. Later, many years later, when Paul's in prison and Paul's writing to the Philippians, Paul says of Timothy, I want to send you to Timothy because there's no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. All seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. But that's not true of Timothy. What an amazing testimony. So Paul, in his introduction here, this is one of the final books that Paul writes. What in his introduction to Timothy is not going to share something that Timothy probably didn't already know. I suspect among this church family here that there are plenty of people that know God's word fairly well. Praise God. Keep studying. Keep learning. But there are some things you should probably be reminded of, and that's what Paul was doing with Timothy. Oh, Timothy, pay attention. Don't forget these things, because these are the things that will help you in life and ministry. Now, Timothy, it appears, as Paul was writing here to First Timothy, he was writing while Timothy was pastoring at Ephesus. Now, we live church life week by week, year by year, and generally speaking, because the church family is made up of saved sinners, every once in a while, you probably never have any problems here, right? Your church is one of those exceptions. No, normal processes are, there's going to be some challenges and troubles. The pastor's heart becomes burdened for someone who's maybe wayward, or a family that's struggling. And more than likely, Timothy was having some of those same problems in Ephesus. We do know later when John wrote to Ephesus, one of the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Remember Ephesus' first church? And what did God say about that church in Ephesus? They've lost their first love. They were doing the busyness of church and didn't love the Lord. It was coming from a wrong motivation. And he says, come back, repent, and do the first works. So it wouldn't surprise us that Timothy was facing some challenges, and what he needed to hear from Paul was right here in these first two verses. Let's read them. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Timothy, don't forget, Paul was saying, that God has called me to the work like he's called you to the work. But let's not forget a couple things about our God and our Savior. Very interesting. This phrase, God our Savior, is only used four times in the New Testament. Three of them in what we call the pastoral epistles. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, where Paul was writing to his sons in the faith. It seems to be something very dear to his heart. He didn't want his boys, his ministry men, to ever forget that God was not just your Savior when you got saved. Now, aren't we glad for that? Right? I am so glad that God, from eternity past, put a plan together. It says in Hebrews that Jesus Christ was slain from the foundations of the world. What does that mean? It means God had already thought about it, had put it all together. He knew, his foreknowledge, he knew that as he would create man, that he could enjoy fellowship with, they would rebel. And so from eternity past, he put it in plan that his Son, the second person of the Trinity, would come and be our Savior. The fourth time, by the way, that God, our Savior, is used in the New Testament is when John wrote to a dear, dear church in the epistle of 2 John. He calls her, the church, my dear lady. And he reminds them about, I'm so thrilled to see that my children are walking in truth. Those he had led to the Lord, helped establish a church, they were walking in truth. The elect lady. That term seems to be a term of dear, dear closeness to his heart. To the writer's heart, that God is our Savior. When we think of the Trinity, we often think of Jesus Christ as our Savior, and rightly so, because it was through Him, through His work, through Him becoming one of us, taking on man, and then dying in our place, that he is our Savior in every way. But dear saint of God, don't forget that though God put the plan together, the moment you got saved, his saving work wasn't done. Paul writing to Timothy, Timothy, don't forget! God is our Savior. Well, he says, well, sure, I know, I got saved. No. That's what he was not trying to emphasize. Right now, dear saint of the Lord, your God is still saving. The Old Testament saints understood it really quickly. He was revealed by Moses to the children of Israel as Jehovah, Yahweh. That's the Hebrew pronunciation there. God our Savior, the covenant God, the one who promised, no matter what the children of Israel did, I will be faithful to you. It's often described in that Old Testament word, mercy, his loyal love. Yes, God saves us, not just our souls from hell, and we're grateful for that. That's the first, that's the birth point. But God will redeem you, as he told the children of Israel, from all your trouble. Now, child of God, do you have trouble today? We could waste the rest of our time telling you all of our troubles. Go to a senior saints meeting. They'll tell you all their troubles. This aches and that. Right? Yes. We are born to trouble as the sparks fly upward, it says in Job. This world is full of trouble. Aren't you glad that you have a God who's a Savior who will save you from that? He'll walk with you all the way through. Timothy, don't forget, in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of the challenges of this life, God is our Savior. But then, to put the cherry on top, Paul wasn't done describing this great God. So he goes on. What's the end of verse 1? Lord Jesus Christ, our Master, our Savior, the Anointed One, those are those three terms there, which is our, what's that other word? Say it with me. Our hope. Our hope. Ever had someone tell you you're going through a problem and say something like this, well, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Fine, but I'm in the tunnel right now and it's dark. Don't you ever want to scream at them like that? Ah! I got problems. I'm so glad that Christ is not just the light at the end of the tunnel, but this hope is speaking about an eternal hope that's with you right now. He's light all the way through the tunnel. Timothy needed to be reminded that God who'd redeemed his soul from hell, who had given him in that instant eternal life, is walking with him now. And through thick and thin, through good and bad, through blessings and curses, Christ, our hope, will be with you all the way through. May God help you, dear child of God, to never, never forget. And take courage so that we can be about, remember what we saw in Sunday school, Acts chapter 28? Be about preaching the kingdom of God, teaching all the things concerning Jesus Christ. Remember, Paul needed that encouragement. He landed there, came up to Appii Forum and the three taverns, ran into the Christians there, and he gave thanks to God and took courage. I'm so glad that we can take courage in our God. He's walking with us. Timothy, don't forget. Child of God today, don't forget. God's your Savior. Christ is your hope. Now, I could stop here and be done, but Paul's not done, so I better not stop either, right? Let's go on to verse 2. What should I do in the reality of the fact that God is my Savior and Christ is my hope? Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Now, Timothy, don't forget this. I'm not with you. We're far apart. What can I give you, Timothy? Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice, the source of grace, mercy, and peace is what's already been mentioned in verse 1, God our Savior, Christ our hope. All right, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Timothy needed to remember in the work of the ministry that God's grace is always there. His mercy is always available. The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Timothy was being ministered to by Paul as Paul wrote this book. Child of God, you know Christ is your Savior. Christ is your hope. Well, that fellow believer beside you, like Paul to Timothy, may need to be reminded of God's great grace, His wonderful mercy, His overwhelming peace. That's called ministry. That really where it fits right into that teaching all things concerning Christ, the discipleship process. So what is grace? Well, we can have all kinds of definitions, but it's really tied closely to God's goodness. God is always, it's who He is, He's always good. So no matter our circumstances in life, we don't find our joy here, we don't find our satisfaction and peace here, we find it in the God who saved us and is always good to us. There may be a child of God here today that you're sitting beside, or maybe in the other aisle, that needs to be reminded today that God is good. His grace is sufficient. Like God had told Paul, remember? Lord, would you take this thorn away from me? Paul, my grace is sufficient. So what did Paul do? Gladly then will I rejoice in my weaknesses, that the strength and the glory of God may be seen through my life. Child of God, help each other not forget God's grace. And let us not forget God's mercy. Now, how is that lived out in our lives? As Paul was reminding Timothy, don't forget about mercy. Well, wrapped up in mercy is the very forgiveness of God, right? As we describe God's loyal love to us, it's full, it's complete, with Him always forgiving us. We stumble and fail our Lord often. I am so glad that His mercy is available. Now, child of God, would you live it out in your life with your fellow believers? Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, because they deserve it. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not the verse, is it? All right. Terrible mistranslation. Be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's mercy. There could be a child of God here today, or maybe somewhere else around this world, that needs to know the forgiveness of God because you're willing to forgive them too. May God help us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, to extend to them God's mercy, not because they deserve it, maybe not even because they asked for it, but because you've been forgiven. You know the mercy of God. Give it to others. Timothy, don't forget grace, mercy, and peace. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, and here's the key phrase, whatever my lot. What lot has God given you today? Oh, I don't like it. Fine. Whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it's well. That's the word peace. It's well. It's well with my soul. Everything can be all right because God is with me. End of statement. This world may fall apart. My life may fall apart. It's okay because God is with me. It's well. That's peace. Child of God, do you need that peace today? Well, turn your eyes back to your Savior, to your hope, Jesus Christ. Why don't you be a good brother or sister in Christ and come alongside somebody that needs to hear of God's peace again, that it's okay. He'll walk with us all the way through this trouble, all the way to glory. And may we find encouragement today, as the choir is so beautifully sung, to continue to be faithful to our God until He comes, or until He takes us home. I'm glad that Paul wrote these words just as an introduction. You should read the rest of the book. It's really good, too. But aren't you glad that God's our Savior? Christ's our hope. That we can minister God's grace, mercy, and peace, sourced in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, to one another. May we be found faithful to the Lord until he comes. I'm going to pray. The choir's going to sing one more song, so don't mind them as they come walking around. And then after that song, Pastor, you can finish the service. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for the preciousness of your relationship with us and its outworkings as we minister God's grace, mercy, and peace to others. Oh, dear Lord, help us, like Paul was reminding Timothy, to never forget that you're our Savior. Those of us that have put our trust in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life can experience and know his work on a day-to-day basis, redeeming us from this terrible world and giving us hope as we walk the path that you've given to us to walk. And then, Lord, may we come alongside one another, as Paul did to Timothy, and help people to remember God's goodness, his grace, his forgiveness, his mercy, his peace. All is well with God. Lord, if there's hearts that need encouragement today, take your word and do its good work in their hearts and lives. If there's one here that does not know Christ as their Savior, may today they come to know him and begin to experience what we already know as believers, that wonderful joy of having God as our Savior. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In your name we pray. Amen.